turn in your Bibles, if you would, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. Last week I started a message simply titled, Not Christian. And what prompted me to do that was really two people that are prominent. One religiously, one politically. It's probably been 3 or 4 weeks ago that there was quite a bit of hubbub about the Pope of Rome saying that, you know, if you build walls instead of bridges, you're not Christian. Alright? Well, of course, Donald Trump took that as a way to get in the news. And he took it personally, and he started saying, well, I'm a good Christian. I'm a strong Christian. In fact, that's probably why the IRS is auditing me, because I'm such a good Christian. And you know, as I thought about two prominent people in the world today, one a billionaire, one a pope, and they're both trying to define what is and is not a Christian. And I don't think either one of them have any real idea what a genuine Christian is. And last week, I spent a great deal of time proving what a Christian is. So today, we're at least going to start what is not Christian, since they are the ones that brought this term. And since the Pope sets himself up as the infallible vicar or representative of Christ and the supreme authority in matters of faith and practice for the so-called universal church, I'm going to make it a point of emphasis to expose the errors, the heresies, the hypocrisies of the Roman Catholic Church. Now, what's very interesting about this is as I studied this, I found so many parallels in the heresies of the Roman Catholic Church with that of another prominent religion, Islam. It would surprise you how many things that Islam and Romanism actually agree upon. However, many of the points of consideration that we're going to look at can go beyond Catholicism, Islam. It can be applied also to many Protestant, charismatic, and other religious organizations who ultimately trace their authority to exist back to the Roman Catholic Church. Now, Baptists, by contrast, have never been identified with Rome, with the Roman Catholic Church. Not historically, not doctrinally, not in their practice, not in their beliefs. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if it's right for you to preach against false religion. But by the time that I get done, you're going to understand why this is so important and why our Baptist forefathers who believed the truths that I'm going to bring out, why they were persecuted by the Roman Catholic Church. People think that ISIS and Islam today, those radical terrorists are horrendous in their efforts to wipe out anybody that's not of their faith. They pale in comparison to what the Roman Catholic Church did during the Dark Ages. They killed, they maimed, they tortured, they burned at the stake, they put people in dungeons and in prisons if they did not line up under the Roman Catholic Church. I do not fear the Pope or the Church of Rome. I don't fear the Islamic religion. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord. I know Him as my Savior. I know that He loved me with an everlasting love. I know that He paid the full price for my sin debt on the cross, and He put them all away. I know that Jesus rose again from the dead, and I am alive in Him. I have eternal life. And on account of what He did, I am never going to perish in my sins. Because I belong to the Lord. Now I gave you a chapter to turn to. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to read a few verses here, and then we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you, as you read this, to pay close attention and find anywhere in these verses where you can find any reference to salvation by the works of man, by baptism, by free will, by the free will of man. I want you to read these with me and ponder those things. It says in verse 3 of Ephesians 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption, through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Any works of man? Any baptismal regeneration? Any salvation through belief in the Pope? Nothing. Alright, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." That's the description of an unsaved man. Dead, walking according to the course of this world, under the dominion of Satan, under his direction. But verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. It's not Christian to not believe in salvation by grace. If you don't believe in salvation by the free grace of God, you're not teaching Christian doctrine. You're not following the teachings of Jesus Christ, the head of His church. It is not Christian to believe, to teach, to promote, or to practice any form of work salvation. And believe it or not, the overwhelming majority of people under the so-called umbrella of Christendom, a majority of them really believe that they're saved by what they do, by their works, by their church membership, by their baptism, by their charitable giving. And that's not Christian. Now, you may have the word Christian over your church door. You may be a mainline denomination. But if you deny the plain truth that salvation is by grace, you don't believe what genuine Christianity has stood for and fought for through the ages. Most people believe in work salvation, the idea that sinful man can somehow earn his way to heaven by a series of good deeds or ceremonies or rituals or prayers or membership in a certain church. They believe that they can merit and that they deserve the favor of God by their works, by their own merits, by their religious performances. That's not Christian. That doesn't line up with the Word of God. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, if they speak not according to the law and the testimony, it is because there is no light in them. Now this idea of work salvation would also include the falsehood that a person must perform certain works in order to maintain their salvation, or they're in danger of losing it. That's not Christian. I mean, Jesus Christ Himself said as much in John chapter 10 and verse 27. He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand." Jesus believed that eternal life is a gift. You don't earn it. In any way, shape, or form, it's free grace. I've often wondered, those who believe you can lose your salvation, what exactly does it take to lose your salvation? What human standard do you operate by? Where is the list of things, if you do any of them or a combination of them, that list that tells you, yeah, you lost your salvation? What church has that up on their bulletin? You're not saved by human standards. You're not saved by membership in a church. You're only saved by trusting Jesus Christ alone, who is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him, by Christ. It's the only way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. Not Christ and a lot of things that the church says you have to do, or the Pope says you have to do, or the priest says you have to do. No! It's trusting Jesus Christ alone. Believing that He died in your place when He was on the cross, that He put away your sins, that He suffered in your stead, that He was buried, and that He rose again, that He's alive forevermore, and that He is your Lord, your Savior. And that goes beyond any church, any denomination, because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that means you don't have to be a Catholic, or a Baptist, or a Presbyterian, or a Methodist, or an Episcopalian to be saved. You have to know Jesus Christ alone. You know, Baptists have always preached that. They've always stood for that. And it's one of the reasons why they've been persecuted and hated through the centuries, because they are contrary to man's religion and work salvation. Baptists historically have stood up, and when the Pope says that you've got to be baptized in the Catholic Church, that you've got to be sprinkled as an infant, that you've got to do certain things to maintain your good standing in the church, Baptists have stood firm and said, no! We believe in salvation by grace alone. We believe that Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the one that said, it's referring to Him, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life is bound up in Christ, in a person. He's the only one qualified to save. No one else can save you from your sins. If salvation by works, the teaching, by man's performance, by his good deeds, if that were actually a doctrine taught in the Bible, why would Jesus Christ have ever had to suffer? Why would He have had to identify with us? Why would He have had to come from the glories of heaven and become a man and live a perfect life and die on the cross, shedding, giving everything He had, and then raising again from the dead? If you could get there on your own, or by being attached to some church, or following the teachings of some man, why would you need Jesus Christ? You see, I believe that it is the height of heresy and folly to point men to work salvation, to depend on themselves for their salvation. It's not Christian. And there's some reasons why that's true. The way we are, the way we were born, the way we live, the natural man, the unsaved person, just does not have enough. You could take every good work you've ever accumulated, wrap it up in a nice package, tie it with a bow, and say, here is all my works. What do you think, Lord? Here's all the good works I've ever done. You know what the Lord says? Turn over to Isaiah chapter 64. And verse 6. Here's what God thinks are the very best works you have. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. That's what God thinks of the very best you have. It doesn't measure up. That's why the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He requires perfection according to His law. We've all fallen short. We haven't reached the standard. There's no way you can be saved by what you do. You don't have what it takes as sinners. Look over with me to Mark chapter 10. In fact, it's impossible for man to save himself or to keep himself saved. Jesus said as much in Mark chapter 10. And verse 25. Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? They had the false idea that the accumulation of wealth must have meant that the saving favor of God was on your life. And they said, well, now the rich man can't be saved, who's blessed with all material good. How can anybody be saved? Verse 27, and Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible, even the salvation of sinners. See, if you understand what you really are in the sight of God, you'll understand that the only way you can be saved is by grace. The only way that you can be kept, the only way that you can finally reach the shores of glory is not by anything that you've ever done, but entirely by trusting in what Christ has done. Amen. Turn over to Romans chapter 3. Some of these are elementary truths for you, but again, I'm trying to show you, contrary to popular opinion, there are some things that mainline religions teach that are not Christian. And one of them is that man's saved by his works. Look what this says in Romans 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That includes the Pope of Rome. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none good, no, not one. You can't be saved by goodness because you don't have enough of it to merit heaven. Now look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. Well, let's read verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now you think about that for a minute. If a man's in the flesh, which is how you're born, that which is flesh. The flesh profits nothing, Jesus said. Here it says that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't be saved by some decision-making process, by fleshly reasoning. You're not born out of the will of man or out of the will of the flesh, born again. It's of God. We don't have what it takes as sinners, depraved, undone, wretched, unholy, impure. How can you bring something clean out of that which is unclean? It's an impossibility. That's why you're not saved by what you do, or even who you are. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. One of the reasons why they can't is because they don't understand the things of God. If you think that you're saved because of something you've done, whether you just said, well, I'm going to get baptized, surely that'll save, you're wrong. Now, I know it's politically incorrect to tell people that they're wrong. You're going to get a heavy dose of it today. The fact of the matter is, there is nothing you can do to merit salvation. Nothing. Like the old songwriter said, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling, O Lamb of God, I come. It's either Christ or nothing. You either know Him or you're going to be damned eternally. You're either trusting in His finished work or your works are going to damn you in the lake of fire for the eternal ages. Because your works do not compare to the only work that God accepts, Jesus Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. His perfect work. People don't understand that. That's why there's so many false religions. That's why the Pope gets up and talks about building bridges and not walls as being not Christian. What's it got to do with it? Nothing! Salvation's bound up in Christ. Not in the Pope, not in the Catholic Church, not in any church. It's in Christ alone. Look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This is the reason why so many people oppose free grace. Salvation by free and sovereign grace. They don't have the discernment of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now, if you study the Bible, you're going to find that the Scriptures are crystal clear. That every aspect of salvation, every word that relates to the doctrine of salvation, and these are words you ought to be familiar with as a believer. They're biblical words. Regeneration, also called the new birth, being born again, those terms are all synonymous. Where does the new birth come from? Does it come from you? No, you're dead in trespasses and in sins. You don't have any spiritual life. The new birth comes from the Spirit of God. And Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be born of the Spirit. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe, that believe on His name. Now, how do we come to believe on His name? The next verse gives you the answer. Which were born? He's talking about the spiritual birth. And He gives you a list of negatives. Are you born again because of your physical genealogy? Because of the family that you belong to? Well, which were born not of blood. It's not according to your bloodline. You're not going to be saved because your parents are necessary. Nor of the will of the flesh. The will of that old nature is what he's talking about. And to emphasize it, he says, nor of the will of man, but of God. So if you wanted to read this just without any of the negatives, it'd read like this, which were born of God. Without any of the negatives, the new birth originates with God. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man. That shoots free will right in the foot. Man's will is in bondage. That's why man's will can't save him. So you got regeneration. How about repentance and faith? Men are responsible to repent and believe. Repentance is a gift of God. It's granted by when the Holy Spirit brings spiritual life to a dead sinner, the first gift He gives them is repentance. And it's followed immediately by saving faith. Both of those things are gifts of God. By nature, you don't have it. God has to give you the gifts of repentance and faith. So far we've got regeneration is of God. Repentance and saving faith are gifts of God. How about justification? Are you justified by your works? Are you justified before God, declared not guilty by your adherence to laws and standards? No. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Amen. Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 5 and verse 1 says, I know what it said. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8 said, it is God that justifieth. It is Christ that died, yea rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. It's all of God. Justification is all of God. All of grace. All of Christ. The entire book of Galatians was written to disprove the idea that man can somehow be saved by his own works, his own law-keeping. The Bible says this in Galatians, in chapter 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Regeneration, conversion, repentance, faith, justification by faith. How about sanctification? It's a work of the Spirit. applying the truth of the Word of God, separating you and consecrating you away from the evils of this world to be conformed to the image of Christ. It's why it's called the work. It can be embodied by the phrase fruit of the Spirit, because it's produced by the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is of God. Glorification, when this old fleshly body is going to be forever done away with and we're going to be glorified and bear the image of Christ. Who does that powerful work? God! Not the Pope, not the Catholic Church, not any Protestant church, not anything that man does. It's all of God. God saves. God intervenes. God changes. God preserves. Salvation is a free gift of God which cannot be earned by the works of men. That's what the Bible teaches. Look at a couple more verses. Romans chapter 4 and verse 2. Romans 4 and verse 2. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. If you could be saved by your works, it would mean God would owe you something. God doesn't owe you anything. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Look over at chapter 11 and verse 5 of Romans. Even so, then at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if it be by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. It's one or the other. Either by saved by grace or works. Not both, not a mixture, not one of the... It's just one. Saved by grace. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says, not of works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. Now, if you believe in works salvation, it's not Christian. Any way, shape, or form. Now, today I didn't really use any of these, but you better strap in next week, because I'm going to show you the whole system of false religion is bound up in this idea that you're saved by adherence to a church, membership in a church, or being baptized as a baby, sprinkled as a baby. They're not baptized. Sprinkled as a baby. I'm going to show you, you're not saved by any of those things. But that's what Catholicism and many Protestants and Islam teach. Are you saved? Are you trusting only in Christ to get you to heaven? Let's all stand.
Page number 140.